Hello, and thanks for downloading and subscribing to That Nerd Dad Podcast. I am That Nerd Dad, Joel Williamson. How are you? How you doing? I'm well. Thanks for asking. We got a guest today. We got Dean Blundell is back. Dean Blundell hasn't been around much these parts. He has been busy transforming DeanBlundell.com into Crier Media. We start with that. We talk about his business in Portugal right now. And then we end on Trump. And Dean is fired up. So stay tuned for that. As always, I want to thank you for being here. And let's throw to Dean. Today, my guest is a distracted Dean Blundell. Dean Blundell, you're back.
On the phone.
You have
on
that nerd dad on your thing.
Yeah, I was on the phone. I was just on the phone, like trying to send a last second text, and you're like, "We're going to record," and then I got the countdown, and I realized I was still on the phone. So that's just literally just what happened.
I don't care.
That's why I'm distracted.
That's why. What was the text important?
It's a text to a business associate.
Okay.
And the text is about a phone call that we're going to have later on. Did you want me to air out the business of Crier Media?
I don't care. It's up to you.
Yeah. Meeting we're having at 12 after another meeting. So meeting at 12 and then another meeting at 1 saying I've got a meeting at 12. So I'll be late for the 1 o'clock.
Okay.
I'm that guy.
Like you're that guy now.
Yeah. Like I was never that guy before. I'm like, because I hate meetings. Like I really hate meetings. I'm that person. Like you'll watch for 2 seconds C-SPAN, right? Like the government channel. Like you'll swing by it when you're looking for something to look at and you see all these people sitting around having a meeting in government chambers and it lasts hours, maybe days. And I'm like, that gives me major anxiety. Meetings in general give me anxiety. When I see meetings happen en masse where you're like stuck in them, which is why I'll never run for office because it's just one big stupid meeting with a whole bunch of idiots. I will never do that ever.
How do you think they get along these days in terms of the attention span? Because everybody's attention span is 30 seconds or less.
I think it's like 8, actually.
How do you think, like, they're not immune to it? They're the ones making the decisions.
Well, see, here's the thing. There are different kinds of meetings. Meeting, if you're with the government, is just meeting with like-minded criminals trying to screw over a taxpayer. So, like, you know, none of those people have values or morals. So they'll sit through those meetings if it means that they can get the downstroke and some money out of taxpayers. So there's like, yeah, I got an executive relationship that is going to give me like $100 million if I just sit through this policy meeting. And if I vote yes for this thing, so I'll just sit. So there's vested interest for politicians. When it comes to people in business, it depends on what you're, and you're in meetings all day because you've got a day job, you got this job, you got lots of meetings with us. You got lots of meetings with your day job, all that other stuff. And it's like those meetings are just able to be bared. Like to me that like any meeting that I have to have, if someone's like, hey, you know, you want to jump on at 12 o'clock. I always like, I get this like streak of sweat that pours down my back where I'm like, what kind of commitment are we talking about? Are we talking about like a full on hour? Is it 15? Now I'm at the point where I'm like, if we can save meeting and you can just send me an email, I would appreciate that. I've started to say that to people because there's no vested interest in these meetings for me, generally speaking. Like if I'm not excited, if it's not entertaining, if it doesn't make us money, if it doesn't push the rabbit down the hole, then I'm not interested in the meeting. I'm very selfish about my time because I can't get more time. I can get more things, but I can't get more time. So when someone wastes time in a meeting, I am like apoplectic. There are meetings where I have sat in the middle of the meeting and I started to sweat and I'm like, guys, I got to leave. And they're like, why? I'm like, because I hate this. It's a pointless meeting. Now we're just talking about our kids. Like, why are we here? We're here to get to know each other. I don't think we are. Maybe actually now that I'm talking about it, I'm a bit of an asshole.
I think those are called like team building exercises there.
Yeah, team. No. With our team, I'll stay on those phone calls. It's with other people. I'm not interested in those calls.
The thing that kills me so much is when you're like, hey, we need you on this call. And then you don't say anything for 30 minutes. And you're like, you didn't need me on this call.
Yeah, nothing. That's the thing. I'd really like you to be on this call. And I'm like, I had one of those the other day. I really want you on this call. And I'm like, dude, it's like an hour. Yeah, but I just need you to hear what this person says. And I'm like, why? Why can't you just cold notes it for me? Or just send me an email. And you know what the person said? Well, that's extra work for me. And I'm like, so you'll inconvenience me for an hour because you don't want to write a fucking summary? Are you serious? Are we allowed to swear on your show? I forget.
Yeah, do whatever the fuck you want.
All right. Thank you. Now I'm all in.
There we go.
So that's like those are my issues now in the adult world. Like, you come from the radio world and you're like, it's not real life. You just go in, tell fart jokes, you go home and people pay you money. Now it's like, you got to make your money by actually meeting with people and putting things together in your adult life. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know this would be part of it. Like, talking to people.
So the idea of this is your adult life job now. When I had you on last, we were still DeanBlundell.com. Yes. Now we're Cryer Media. We made the several months ago. We kind of went all in on Cryer Media.
Yeah.
You were the driving force behind that. You wanted to get your name off of the network because essentially the network was growing and you wanted to get your name away from it. You didn't want it to be Dean's network. You wanted it to be something bigger than that. What was the motivation for that? And let's go down that road a little bit.
Okay. Motivation for changing DeanBlundell.com to Cryer Media is I have a really hard time saying my own name. I have an even harder time reading my own name, and I have a harder time with my name being an umbrella over everybody else's ownership, right? Like, you own your content. That Nerd Dad podcast is a Joe Williamson property. It's not mine. Right. And that's how we operate. Like, we don't want to own people. We want to own the process with them. We want to help them. We want to work with them. And so it was really twofold. One is, you know, hey, sick of my name, not an ego play. This is for everybody. Everybody can say they're part of Cryer Media. And the other part of that was, is I have a history and reputation as a shock jock, which some people don't like. So when you walked into meetings with agencies, they're like, really, really, we're going to give you money. Really? Really? And so now when you walk in with a package that says Cryer Media, everybody, and you give them your analytics, you tell them about your podcast network, they're like, wow, that's great. Let's talk. And you're like, okay. So it's easier to make money because of the fact that it's not a preventative name. Not that it's preventative. It was just a business decision that represented the whole much better, didn't represent me, which I didn't like. And I'm not an ego guy, or at least I was, and not so much anymore. So it was really easy for me because I don't care. Like, I don't care about that stroke. There are a lot of people out there that do. Does not bother me at all. And I love it. I love the people like belonging to this platform too, right? It's got a little bit of panache and we're going places, which is really exciting.
I think it's incredible where we've come from, even just the amount of content that goes up on cryermedia.co. I almost said .ca, but I think .ca.
Cryer.co.
Yeah. Cryer.co. I'm always impressed about how much goes up all day long. When you started DeanBlundell.com and now Cryer Media, what was always the end goal? Where did you envision this going?
Huh. It's a great question, actually. No one's asked me that. I still don't really know. I think, you know, we've got a game plan, and that game plan is today. It's to help people today, help them do content today, help people monetize their content today. It's to have an accountable, you know, news and sports outlet, lifestyle opinion outlet that doesn't gaslight people. It's, you know, a self-aware thing. And what does that mean at the end? What is the game plan? One day to sell it, obviously. You know, we build things to sell so we can sell them and move on to the next thing. My shelf life is, you know, 5 to 7 years, and any project should be everybody's shelf life. So we're, you know, kind of legitimately the 2 year mark, kind of going into year three. But as Cryer Media, this is year one. So, you know, you give yourself that time to build something that has influence, something that has a book of business, something that has a great relationship, something that has lots of inventory. And so when we decided to kind of, you know, change it up, we wanted to change it up and still maintain that same sort of attitude of, you know, you can be irreverent and accountable at the same time. But like feeding your better angels or your better informed angels and having a good time when you're doing it, and producing content with people while providing solutions in a space where there are none, which is digital content. You know, that's our goal every day. You know, it's not necessarily an exit plan, of which we have one. That's why you design businesses, for an exit plan. If it's not the first thing you're doing, you're probably doing something wrong. You know, if you think you're going to be building this big thing and it's going to be this legacy project, it's bullshit. You know, we're building something that doesn't exist. We built something that doesn't exist, which is a highly monetizable platform full of people like yourself and others, who love producing, who, you know, want to be accountable to their citizens that they produce content for and with, right? So that's the game plan, is that on a daily basis. And the end result, obviously, is, you know, within this book of business and the other companies that we have, like Clancy World, some of those relationships. You know, we're well on our way to understanding how to be able to bring commerce content to people too. So, you know, we've lots of opportunity as a company, and that opportunity really lays in and sits in the idea that, you know, we are a solution for people when it comes to information, entertainment, and people who do content. And, you know, if you're a solution in this space, you're kind of rare, which I really like.
You mentioned you kind of throwaway word, Clancy World.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of business in Portugal recently, like a shit ton. Like, you've been there. Two or three times in the last 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
And I you know, I can't help but think that a lot of the people are kind of like curious about what is Crier Media's business in Portugal with Clancy World, with Benfica.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there?
Yeah. That's another great question. You must do this for a living.
I wish. Yeah. This for peanuts and applause.
For fun. So, yeah, Clancy World is a digital collectible company, and one of their clients is a Portuguese Liga soccer team. And it's one of the most important soccer teams in soccer around the world. It's a brand. It's a sporting club. It's called Benfica out of Lisbon. Benfica's a 120-year-old brand, 120-year-old club that is as much history as it is a soccer team. It is as much a living museum. It's as much of a drug to the people of Lisbon, people of Portugal, Benfica fans, as it is a soccer team. So, you know, when we entered in this relationship with Clancy World, which is a digital collectible company, used to be called NFTs. We all know NFTs are by and large a load. So we got into business with them and we started to represent Clancy World. The whole goal for us was to really look at this relationship a little bit differently, right? So you got a bunch of business guys in a room, you got a media guy in a room, you've got soccer people in a room who understand Benfica, and you know they are this Clancy World project. This Clancy World company has incredible technology that they create these digital collectibles for, and these digital collectibles are incredible. Actually, they offer access, instant access, frictionless access to teams, to moments, and to moments that you can actually go and enjoy. Like whether it's on VR, and you can enjoy a moment through Clancy World where you're watching a game at midfield. Whether it's you collecting a moment from that game, owning that moment, putting it in a wallet, and then having that moment, which is a digital collectible, which is a video, it's a picture, come with special offers, cheaper tickets to your next game. It's all about fan engagement. That's what Clancy World is all about. And so when they came to us and they say, hey, we want to, you know, we've got some work to do in terms of community building and we want you to partner with us. It was super easy. It was really simple for us because, you know, fan engagement, digital content, how to make that work, how to get these things in the hands of people, how to build community, create community, and sell into a community is really kind of what part of our other business does. And so, you know, it was sort of a match that we didn't see coming, and the legitimacy of it, you know, when you get into business with a club like Benfica and in a group like Clancy World, and you're a, you know, a budding blogosphere, podcast network, analytics company, which is what Crier Media is. We've got a tech division in, there as well. You know, it was exciting for us. And so, you know, we entered into that partnership, we entered into that relationship, and we are an official partner of Benfica, which is really incredible because, you know, a year ago you're on the couch and you're banging away at content. And, you know, then a year later you find yourself in Lisbon, one of the most beautiful cities in the world, in an office with, you know, one of the most important sports franchises, sporting teams, not franchise brands, clubs in the world. And you're having legitimate conversations about content and how to show the world this beautiful brand, Benfica, how to get these things in the hands of people that love this team, how to engage with fans, how to open up communities. And so, you know, that part of this has been sort of a whirlwind for me because, you know, I'm a radio guy. First was a radio guy. That doesn't exist anymore. Then I started becoming a blogger, and then you become a media owner because, you know, it continues to move forward. And these are just natural progressions when you take chances. When you partner with people and when you have a great reputation, when you do what you say you're going to do, right? So that relationship has been incredible. We've been over to Lisbon probably three times. You know, we were there last week taking in our first Super Cup game, first actual Portuguese Super League game, which was incredible. It was Porto, hated rivals against Benfica for the Super Cup, which is the preseason cup. It's last year's league winner versus last year's champion. and Benfica won the championship on the last day. They won 2-0 in the stadium. And I've been introduced to this passion that does not exist anywhere else in the world. You go to these games and it's not like going to a Leaf game where you can sit and talk to your friend like this, no higher decibel than this. You can't hear each other for 90 minutes, maybe even longer. The only time people take a break is at halftime when everybody runs to the pisser, come back in, and it's just chant, 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 flares, everybody jumping up, family atmosphere. You've never seen anything like this. So, you know, the entire journey has been really incredible, and we continue to, you know, help our friends at Clancy World, and we continue to partner with our friends over at Benfica to be able to introduce this brand to people in North America analytically with content, the understanding that this brand is a family, and introducing their history and mystique to North Americans has been just awesome, because we do not have that here. I don't care if you're a Leaf fan. I don't care if you're a Habs fan. You don't have the kind of history that these teams and the passion that these teams have just doesn't exist.
There's two where I want to go two places with this. One, you and I were talking very briefly off air about how it's kind of just it's a grind. It's every day is one foot in front of the other. And you said, you know, a year ago, you were doing whatever. Now you're with Benfica. A year ago, you were dunking on Chris Sky. That's what you were doing a year ago. You were dunking on Chris Sky. Yeah. And now you're having world meetings with one of the premier brands in the world. Like, I mean, that shows the progression. The second thing I want to say to that was I am envious of football or soccer culture. Yeah. And the way their leagues are set up, I love the idea of regulation. Of, hey, if relegation. You're not good enough,
relegation. Yeah, yeah.
Relegation. Thank you.
Yeah.
Not regulation.
Oh, I hate regulation. Love relegation though. Especially
relegation.
Because, yeah.
If you don't make the cut, fuck off. Go to the minors.
100%, dude.
And if you get a minor league team that's killing it, bring them up.
Let me see them. Yeah.
Not an individual player. Bring the whole squad.
Totally, dude. James Sharman and I from 40 Prime were talking about that when we were in Portugal. I'm like, he goes, you know what? Because he's like, there are going to be a bunch of relegation games. Those are way more fun to go to. It happens in the Prem, happens in Portuguese, happens in Serie A, happens in Spanish League. It happens everywhere where, you know, the teams that are really good really stay at the top of the heap. Generally speaking, there's like, you know, 10 to 12, maybe 15 other teams that at any point in time could go down and get relegated, or they get no money, no TV deals, no nothing. There's like several leagues and it's merit based, right?
Yeah.
And he said, dude, the most exciting football games to go to are the games where two teams have to fight each other and one team will get relegated after that game. He's like, the passion, the tensity, the intensity, like he said, it's just insane. It's way better than championship game. So that's what keeps these the teams and the dreams and the narratives alive in those leagues. In North America, we're like, hey, you got $500 million. $2 billion, you can have a franchise and you'll continue to be a professional franchise just as shit as you want to be. You can be a laughing stock. There's no merit based in it. It's just who's got the money. Same thing with MLS.
Your fans MLS doesn't have relegation. You to tank for a specific player.
Yes, they
tank.
Want you to suck.
Be bad.
Yes, that doesn't exist in English or Portuguese or Spanish or Italian or German soccer. Does not exist. They're like, you good? Great, you can stay. You suck. You go give another team another chance. And here's the thing. If you get taken from relegation into League One, like let's just say the Premier League, let's say you go from League One into the Premier League, that's like $1 billion in free money, TV deals, sponsorship deals. So like there is so much on the line, every single league to get up to different points. And if you're watching Welcome to Wrexham, you understand how this whole thing works. It's a great show, by the way. You should watch it.
It's an incredible mentality, but I think we're too selfish here in North America. Mm-hmm. And the owners are too late. I mean, now it's all set up. The owners will never, ever go for anything like that because they'll be giving away their ability to rest on their laurels. But man, I am envious of that system. I just
think we all are. When you go there, you're like, we suck. Like when you go to, like when we went to Aveiro, which is north, it's like 2.5 hours north of Lisbon. We go to Aveiro. It's a neutral site game because in like the fans of Benfica have to go in one entrance, riot police all around the actual stadium. Like, I'm not kidding you, too deep riot police all around the stadium, making sure Benfica fans don't mix with the Porto fans, making sure. And like Porto and Benfica fans magically actually stood together. You'd have people screaming at you, including the police going, separate, separate. Like, it's fucking unbelievable. That kind of passion, we don't know that. Like, you might get catcalled if you're wearing a Leaf jersey in Montreal or vice versa. Yeah. You might get some guy calling you a name. It's war. And the passion, doesn't last like for a goal, doesn't last for like a fight, doesn't last for any of that stuff. The passion is 90 minutes and it doesn't end. And it's, when you plug yourself into that, you see that as a North American sports fan. It's not just jealousy, it's resentment for all of it. And by the way, here's the other thing. No national anthems over there. They're like, fuck it. These are two teams playing. We don't need to get nationalistic. And I dig that.
Yeah, me too. I'm on board with the no national anthems. It feels fake at this point.
Totally.
Because it's, guys are standing there drinking their beer, scratching their balls.
Yeah.
And it's a patriotic moment. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're not paying reverence to anything.
No, dude. And that's like over there, it's just about soccer. They don't, and being a fan of the team and the membership of the party. It is not about the country. It is not about national pride. I mean, the national pride is the game, right? So that is their homage. It's to the game. Like they say these things in Portugal. They say the three F's of Portugal are football. It comes first. Fado, which is a specific type of like acoustic sad music that you'll hear throughout the streets of Lisbon, no matter, like after 7 o'clock, doesn't stop. It's incredible. And then the other one is Fatima, which is, and of course, a reference to religion, right? Those are the three, but they come in order of importance in that order: football, Fado, and then they're like, yeah, throw religion in, not family. Divorce rates 94%, by the way, in Portugal, which I did.
94?
Yeah.
That can't be
90.
Right.
90. Dude, Google it right now. Google it right now while we're on the air. What is the divorce rate in Portugal?
I'm not going to do that.
94%. Spain's like 82 or 84. Yeah.
Dude, Holy crap.
Yeah, everybody's married like three times before they're 25. It's awesome. It's incredible.
They want to do the good Catholic thing.
Yeah.
They get married.
Realize this doesn't work. This marriage sucks. No, it's awful.
Bail. Yeah. And then they do it two or three more times just for good measure.
Yeah, well, and after once, normally speaking, most people just end up living together over there. Like, hey, we're smarter than everybody else in North America. We only do it once. But the divorce rate is like 94%, which is, I think, respectable. I think there are smart people over there.
That is insane. Why bother in the first place? Like, dude, why?
Let's Google it. Portugal? Well, right. That's a question to ask regardless of divorce rate.
Portugal?
Divorce rate. I'm doing it right now. Portugal divorce rate.
Divorce rate.
Highest divorce rate. The Maldives.
I got the 60%.
Yeah, the number's closer to 94%.
According to PortugalNews.com, whatever that is.
PortugalNews.com. Yeah, no, my buddy Ricardo, who's a reporter for the NBA, he's like, hey, look at this, 94% divorce rate. The other ones don't matter. This is the real truth. And I'm like, really, 94%? He's like, yeah, I'm not even kidding. 94%. I'm like, that's awesome.
The packed stadium.
Yeah.
Parenting show. I'll throw a parenting question in there. Were there any kids there?
Tons.
Really?
Tons.
Even though there's riot police in case a riot breaks out.
Just regular stuff over there. Okay. Tons. Tons of kids, tons of parents, little gaffers, bigger kids, teenagers, elementary, tons. Yeah, tons. Not in the end section. The end section is reserved for like the supporters, right? Like the guys who get the paints, who like the flares, light things on, all that stuff. That is, and it is like a chant that lasts for 90 minutes, like I told you, and they lead it all. I didn't see any kids in that section. We are in the team section, like the executive portion of the team section, kind of at midfield in the corner, about, I don't know, 30 rows up. We're sitting next to like some 15, 16-year-old dudes, sitting next to guys in business suits that put Benfica over their shirts, painted, just came from, and by the way, here's the thing. You want to talk stadium? No drinking in that stadium. Not allowed to drink. Yeah, there's no. You cannot get drinks during the game.
I like that.
Yeah.
I wish they had.
But you can smoke in your seat. You can smoke openly in your seat, but you can't drink.
I've never seen a guy who's like just smoking without drinking that starts a fight.
Dude, never. No, there were no fights. Everybody was
always alcohol induced.
And I asked that because I had a 0.0, right? They sell alcohol-free beer. You can walk around with those things. Sagres makes a great 0.0, by the way. It's an unbelievable. It's their team sponsor, Sagres beer. Very good. A little pump. There you go. I don't think they have it here, but I'm going to try and see if I can find it. So I got this beer in my hand. I'm like, so tell me, this whole place is dry. She goes, oh, yeah. She's just like, of course it is. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, no alcohol in these games. I said, why not? She goes, because it'll just end in terribleness. And I'm like, what kind of terribleness? She goes, well, the kind that like where people get hurt. And I'm like, oh, okay. But they are allowed to smoke freely in their seats. She goes, oh yeah, that's fine. But smokes don't change how you act, right?
That's
the whole thing. But then she said, like, they tried to ban smoking here after they banned drinking, and everybody's like, whoa, that's way too far.
So high divorce rates, no drinking at the stadium, and you can smoke wherever you want. I think I like Portugal.
Heaven. It's heaven, and the food is incredible. It was like 35 and sunny every single day. The only thing is the water in the Atlantic is a little cold. You won't like that. We went to Cascais, which is a beautiful little community. Go up to Cascais, spend the day kind of farting around and just kind of seeing things, getting B-roll, camera. And I'm like, I'm going to go in the ocean, ankle deep. I'm like, fuck this. I'm out. I can't get
out of the ocean. Are you a cold guy, though? Like, are you a cold weather guy?
No. Hate cold weather.
Yeah,
me too. Can't stand it. Yeah, I'm good like spring, fall, beginning of summer. End of summer is a bit of a drag. No, I don't like the cold. So I got out of the Atlantic.
Avoided at all costs. My wife can go into a cold shower, cold pool. No,
she's I'll be on the side. She's not well. She's not well then, if that's what she does. She needs help.
Not going to say anything just in case she watches this episode.
She's great if she watches.
She's the best.
You're fine.
I love her so much.
You're excellent. Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't talked about dad things to be yet on the show. Just have to be a dad to be on your show. Is that?
I don't know. Not even that. It's really just a loose premise. It allows me to say I have a niche. If I'm being honest.
And God for admitting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's show's named something, and then you're like, oh, all those people listen. You end up talking about something else. Just a key to a doorway. That's all it is. I get it.
I say I try to approach the conversation through the lens of parenting.
Yeah.
We talked about Portugal's
And kids at the games.
There you go. I shoehorned a question in there. I want to get you out on this, and maybe it's a bad topic to get you out on because it might run long, but I don't care. You got nowhere to go. You don't have a meeting. Trump was indicted again.
Oh.
Does it matter? My question is, does it matter? Like, I don't even like, okay, it was 18 charges, I think, or 18 indictments through Georgia and blah, 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 blah. Does it matter? Does it matter at all?
Huge.
You think it matters? Why?
Oh man, it is. What happened yesterday, in case anybody is unaware listening to this podcast, Donald Trump and 17 associates, everybody from Rudy Giuliani to Sidney Powell to John Eastman, all the creeps, Jen Ellis, all the creeps that invented this false narrative about a big stolen election, the big lie, all the creeps have been found out, right? Georgia is ground zero now. Fulton County prosecutors have indicted 18 people, including former President Donald J. Trump. Did that today. And the reason why they did it is they have a mountain of evidence that these guys literally fucking around with Dominion voting machines, trying to change votes, trying to strong arm and threaten people into changing the legitimate outcome of the U.S. election, which we've all known, which has been well documented, which is happening right now. And that is now, in case you're keeping track, 41 felony indictments against the former president of the United States. There are 161 indictments into the group of 18 that got charged, 161 on top of his personal 41. So now we're up to what? 202 federal indictments. These 161 indictments that came from Fulton in Georgia yesterday. Touch this. This is beautiful. Racketeering charges that carry a mandatory minimum and a hold. So no bail. And Fannie Willis, the GA prosecutor, said, hey, by the way, you got till the 25th to turn you in, or we're just going to come and fucking get you. So two things happened yesterday. We learned that lying doesn't work over time. We learned that making up an alternative reality doesn't work over time. When the real world will catch up with you, we look at Twitter, we look at social media, and we go, that's the truth. Dude, you're seeing how it isn't the truth right now, because the former president of the United States, who everybody was telling you, you're a criminal, you're stealing, you're hurting people, you're killing people, all those things, you're hurting your own people, you're trying to steal the election. He did. He's been charged with 204 different indictments at four different levels of government. And here's the catch. They don't charge people, take things to a grand jury, and get indictments in any country, specifically in the United States, unless the evidence is so fucking overwhelming that they can do nothing else. So 18 people charged with gangster racketeering RICO laws, organized crime on a federal political and geopolitical level in the United States. They almost stole the fucking country. They almost stole, fascists almost stole the United States of America. And today, not so much over there, I know they all worked in coordination. Today was the day. Today is the day that everybody out there was waiting for. Every single person out there that was like, how is it possible that lies and hatred, bullshit, alternative realities could make people so excited? How is it possible that anybody could believe in any of this shit when all the evidence says the other? Well, all of those lies are out now. And listen, there's going to be willing people, Trump fans, MAGA fans in the United States, and Canada, that are going to be screaming from the mountaintops. It's a hit job. It's this. It's that. Conspiracy. None of it is a conspiracy. He is a fucking criminal. He tried to steal the United States, and it's happening up here in Canada, too. Skinny Trump, Pierre Poilievre, has lied his dick off. Fascists, that's what they do. They lie for effect. They project those lies onto you to make you afraid. And then you go and you vote for somebody, or then you go and become a fan saying it's the only thing that keeps us from near death is that guy, right? That's what Trump is. And that's what the Trump people have been saying. Rigged election. He knows I'm the only guy. You, they're trying to get me to get to you. All this other bullshit, all these tropes that we see and that we have to eat every day from the liars. Well, the liars lost. Liars lost, and they're going to lose every time. It might take a year, might take 3 years, might take 5 years, might take 7 years. You don't know. But here's the great part. All the things my dad taught me when I was a kid came true. Listen, you can lie for a minute, but you're always going to get found out. Always. And this is the kind of schadenfreude I love. Like, I love when terrible characters take it right in the you-know-what. I fucking love it. Because there are a bunch of us out there that are trying to do the right thing on a regular basis, and you see absolute assholery, conspiracy, fascism, lying, cheating, stealing, hurting, killing, coups, insurrections, convoys. Like, to bring that back into the foray, because we're going to have to deal with that. By the way, and this kind of reckoning is going to happen in Canada prior to the election. I don't know if you guys are you're stunting on what's going on in the United States. But it's going to happen here, because if you think the Liberal government doesn't have a whole bunch of criminality lined up based on convoys and the same bullshit, the same attempted insurrection that happened in this country, if you don't think that they're not waiting till 6-8 months before an election starts to start rolling out the fascist criminality in this country and attaching big names to some real serious racketeering and real serious criminality in this country and our political ecosystem, you're crazy. It's going to happen here too. So yesterday, today, great day for democracy, terrible day for fascism, and an awful day for liars, specifically geopolitical liars. And it's going to happen in this country next. Mark my words. How did I do? Is that a good explanation, Joe? You good?
I don't even want to talk.
You shouldn't.
I didn't want to, because I'm going to clip that. That's better than the previous 25 minutes. I should have led with that.
Sorry.
You nailed it at the end.
Lies, man. Like, all the things that our parents taught us to be, right? You can be prime minister.
I did ask. I said, does it matter? Now, matters.
100%.
You're saying that, but will it affect one vote in the U.S.?
Yes. It will affect enough votes.
If you're already a Trump guy, indictments 1 through 3 haven't changed your mind. Indictment 4 doesn't change your mind. In prison,
you think indictment 204 changes your mind?
Sorry?
Indictments like 3 through 204?
I don't think it matters. I think if you were already on the Trump train, he could be standing in prison, holding the bars in the orange jumpsuit. And I think that, Yodel in Arkansas is still going to give him your money.
Yeah,
he's going to give him some money for his lawyer fees and to run for presidency from prison. I don't think it changes anything.
Oh, I think it doesn't for certain hardcore evangelical, dark money, conservative, crypto bro, asshole groups. Like,
I have crypto now. I think I'm a crypto bro.
Well, there you go. You're not a crypto bro unless you're pumping it and walking around with Rolexes, pouring champagne on your arm. That's different. You just have some crypto. But it's going to change things. For the undecided voter whose financial future would look rosier with a conservative in government, someone who doesn't like regulation, someone who's got a whole bunch of oil in their portfolio, that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, that a fair-minded person who might have been on the fence because they're like, listen, he's a total creep, but my bank account looks great because of the guy, or did because of the guy, or, you know, my religious beliefs line up with this guy. It's the fair-minded people who dip into those areas of common interest when it comes to the GOP or conservatism that are going to walk away from it, that are going to say, ah, fuck, I can't tell people I voted for this guy. And the other thing is that, dude, he is like between now, like these, all of them, Fannie Willis, Georgia DA yesterday said, by the way, here are the 18 names, Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, John Clark, all the pricks, every single one. You have to turn yourself into me by the 25th, or we're coming to get you. And that has never happened. That is, and not only has this never happened, and that's why it matters, is because the law is showing ankle. You know what I mean? In the United States, you know what, everybody for the past like 8 years has been like, isn't that like illegal as fuck? Like, we do it up here too. Isn't conspiring with religious terrorists, like, isn't that illegal to shut down the government, shut down a city, to terrorize people? Isn't that what happened with the convoy? Yeah, that's exactly what happened with the convoy. Everybody can spin it to however it was. Same thing with the insurrection in the United States. Oh, it was a tour. Oh, really? Someone got shot in the head during that tour, and a bunch of people got beat almost to death outside, including a couple Washington police officers. So weird tour, right? It's the lies. Zero. It's the lies about what you've seen. Yeah, none. It's the lies about what you've seen with your own eyes being torqued by other people, man. It's media. It's politics. It's the law. It's people with common interest in those areas to fuck you and I over. And that was today is a great day for us, right? The people who vote in the United States. I'm really happy for my friends in the United States. I got a lot of them that absolutely can't stand that prick, like a ton. One of our consultants in LA, Jennifer, wonderful lady. I was talking to her the other day, and she's like, oh, I can't wait till he goes to jail. And I'm like, I think it's going to happen. She's like, yes, we all do. She said, even my Trump acolyte friends, like all of those guys, they're like, we know he's a total fucking criminal. We just vote for him because it's hilarious, and he fills our pockets with money. And they're like, yeah, we get that, but he's a liar. And they're like, yeah, we know. So everybody's traded in their own pride. Everybody's traded in their shame. That's been a big fan of his. Same thing with the United States and Canada. People trade in shame, right? They're like, well, like, listen, if I can buy a new car, if I get a better tax rebate or don't have, and by the way, generally speaking, people who vote conservative or GOP are too stupid. You know, generally speaking, the average voter is too dumb to understand what any of the issues are. And they vote according to price of grapes, gas.
Right. I was listening to your Adler interview.
Yeah. And he was right. He's like, by the way, I don't care about free healthcare for everybody. I'm fucking pissed that papayas are like twice as much as they were last week. It's like
bacon, eggs, and grapes.
I'm going to vote for the guy who's also pissed about bacon, eggs, and grapes. Like, I'm really upset. And you were being told, like, you know, and that's the thing. The moldable mind is really the most dangerous part of this whole equation. The stupid moldable mind, because those are the supporters. That's who gives us oxygen. The stupid moldable mind of people who lack the ability to reason, the intellectual quotient to be able to have a critical thought about how things will affect people and not just them, right? That's the difference. Right. The difference between someone who has the ability to operate happily in this world, see the forest through the trees, go forward, and the difference between a Trump or Pierre Poilievre or conservative till I die supporter. And really, you could kind of say that about anybody who trades in their own critical thought process for an ideology that belongs to a political party and just kind of wears it like a fucking sweet mask. Right. You can say that about all of them. I am so sick of the culture war and the class war that they force us to fight, right? It doesn't exist. One is worse than the other, but they're both terrible, terrible institutions. Doesn't matter if you're liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican. The only goal is to use you as a fucking surfboard to the country's bank account for their friends. That's it. That's it. Everything else is bullshit.
He's Dean Blundell. I'm getting you out on that. That's amazing. That's it.
Thank you. That's cut.
Cut.
I appreciate being here, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean Blundell. It's been a week. I'll say this. I do thank you. I thank you at the end of every one of my episodes. I thank Cryer Media.
I know. It's been too much, to be honest with you. You don't need to thank me anymore. You can just keep
working. No, I do, man. This is 3 years, going on 3 years of this, and just thank you, sincerely.
Buddy, you're a great story. That Nerd Dad podcast, the network that you've built, the numbers that you drive, the effort that you make for Cryer Media, I'm just super happy to work with you. We're more grateful than you, for sure. If we could, well, maybe not, actually.
Yeah.
You might be more grateful for me. But either way, it's just a mutual admiration society. I love you.
All right, buddy. Take it easy.
Thanks, buddy. Great to see you. I'll talk to you soon.
It's the show. I want to thank Dean Blundell for his time, his energy, his support, blah, 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 blah. You heard it at the end. Want to thank you for listening, subscribing. Want to thank you for being here. Want to thank you for taking time out of your day, spending it with me in whatever capacity it is. I'm just an appreciative guy when it comes to this thing. I really am. So thanks. I'll see who I get for a guest next week. Be well, be safe, and
thanks for listening. Damn.
Hey listeners, I'm Christy.
And I'm Melissa, and this is Buried Motives, where we dig deep into the details of some of the most gruesome
dirtbag murderers. She said she enjoyed hurting things that can't fight back.
And that is a disturbing view into the mind of a murderer. And such a dirtbag.
Yeah, that's not even strong enough words. This is totally a recipe for disaster. And not to justify whatever is going to happen, but you can totally understand and see how this would be in the works.
If you were only to look at what she did later on and not know any of that history, she would appear like off the wall crazy.
Oh, 100%. Because we're not even close to getting to the end yet. But you can just see this pattern and all this kind of stuff developing in her, which is what we're here for. We're digging deep.
Join us each Thursday as we unearth the dirt bags that live among us
and the motives buried there. Hope you join us as we exhume the truth.
I'm Matt Kundel, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.